Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Here on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining me now by phone, fingers crossed, because of the phone trouble we've been having lately, is Representative Nathan Boyles, former Okaloosa County Commissioner, owner of Adams Sanitation, and also District 3 Representative in his first term. I think quite boldly and bravely voting no on the property tax referendum that Governor DeSantis proposed. But let's talk to him about it. Nathan, welcome back to the Pensacola. I can't tell if we've had you on before, but welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, Andrew, good morning. And I'll say sometimes some people may consider something bold. One person's bold, maybe another person's stupid. So we'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Oh, and by the way, you do still own Adams Sanitation, right?
No, so actually, thanks for asking. We actually recently, wife and I sold the business here about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So it was a great 8-year adventure, but time to move on to other opportunities.
Outstanding. Well, very good. Well, I will say this, you know, I thought you would have made a great representative, and when you decided to run, I'm like, oh, sweet. I mean, because he's got all the different experiences. He's got business experience. He's got county commissioner experience. He'll represent the local panhandle. So I was, you know, I was excited to see you be in office. And then you went and committed political suicide in your first term. So I'm eager to find out why. You and actually General / Judge Maney were the only two to vote against this proposal. Why did you vote no?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So, I mean, first, to be super, super clear, I appreciate the governor's leadership on this issue. I'm proud that the legislature it took up the issue of property tax reform, and I believe that property tax reform was overdue in the state of Florida. And
agreed.
So, this is not an issue for me of being oppositional to the concept. In fact, I think it's something we should have been doing. So, you know, for me, I really had two kind of primary concerns. One of those was directed at local governments and the impacts of local governments, and then the other was directed at how this will impact certain segments of Floridians, whether those be businesses or folks who may be newly relocating here, like, say, new young airmen moving to our community. And so, So talking first about, you know, local government, I think, you know, I've learned that Florida is a big and diverse place, and there's a lot of cities and a few counties that have probably gone over the edge as it relates to spending, as it relates to prioritizing things that are out of step with what we would expect them to prioritize with spending their dollars. And they have some really high millage rates across the state. But that is not the case, at least in the two counties that I represent. You know, Santa Rosa County, and in particular Okaloosa County, has one of the lowest millage rates in the state. And so we have been historically very conservative. And what that means is that under this proposal, there is simply not enough room to cut out of the budget to absorb the significant amount of revenue that's going to be lost, which would mean not a tax cut, but a tax shift. Or the cutting of significant actual services. You know, they may be talking about, you know, laying off sheriff's deputies, closing libraries, shutting down animal control, figuring out how do we shift our inmates out of our jail and close our jail because we're not going to have enough revenue to fund all the folks that we need to run all the shifts at the jail. Those are the types of significant consequences that will be faced in some jurisdictions who have been conservative with their use of the millage rate.
So some places can certainly use a belt tightening or a little bit of, you know, fire, you know, to get rid of some of the fluff. But as you say, there are a lot of places where that's not true. And so it really would be either you shift taxes to some other source or you're going to have to cut services. And, you know, kind of in that vein, I want to say what you said a little different way, and I want to make sure that I don't misunderstand you. It sounds to me like what your view is, I love the idea of property tax reform. I love the idea of cutting property taxes, but this particular proposal is not doing it smart enough or with enough attention to the consequences for me to support.
I think that's well put. I think, you know, and to be clear, I think, you know, Okaloosa and Santa Rosa County probably could absorb a 5%, you know, maybe a 10% with some pretty significant consequences. But when you get into the, you know, the 30% plus out of their non-restricted ad valorem general revenue obligations, that is just very, very significant. And it's important to note here that, you know, one of the things that we did not do that would have, I think, would have made this effort much more fruitful is we did not have a discussion about how we then unrestricted some of these local governments' other revenue sources. And I think the best example of that is bed taxes. So as a county commissioner, I fought with the legislature for years over giving counties more authority to spend bed tax on the things that those counties and the citizens in those counties wanted to prioritize. And that was a constant fight because the legislature and the lobbyists that represented large interests in the state who wanted to see those dollars continue to be restricted always fought against that. And so a county losing revenue under this proposal will not be able to take bed tax to backfill, you know, core critical services. And so you'll have this tremendous irony where you may have a county spending millions of dollars a year on marketing materials for tourists while they are simultaneously laying off sheriff's deputies. And that was this thing was not fully baked in that sense of thinking through all of those subsequent consequences and then building the structure around that to resolve those issues.
Yeah, I mean, like here in Escambia County, that just to take a particular application for that, our commissioners just voted to spend $25 million on turf upgrades for a soccer complex, which may pay off, may not, but they did it in part because there are only so many things you can do with the tourism development tax or bed tax money. And, you know, if you're spending as much as you want on advertising, or if in our case you've kind of maxed out your infrastructure, so maybe we don't need to be keeping up advertising, you know, why not free up some of that money to be used on other things? We've got a revenue source. Let's use it, especially if we're making these cuts in other areas. We're talking to Nathan Boyles, our state representative from District 3. That's basically Santa Rosa County, other than the beaches and some of Okaloosa County. Nathan, hang on for just a second. Let me get a traffic report. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, one of the things that you explained, Nathan, that I really appreciate is, and I wondered this, but you've already confirmed it. I wondered how much your experience as a county commissioner affected your thought process about this particular proposal and how it would affect all of the 67 counties. And it sounds like dramatically.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, the focus there is really on having a functional understanding of how a local government's budget works. Now, and so, I don't want that to be misread as simply, you know, sympathy for local governments. Look,
right.
I've dealt with a lot of local governments, but, you know, if I put on my business hat for a moment, I've dealt with the worst side of local government business decision making. And so this is not a, you know, not born out of simply love of local government. Now, I do respect and appreciate what local government does, and I think that we would all be in a bad way real quick if local government went away tomorrow, as much as we love to hate it. But this was really born out of me just having an understanding of the actual mechanics of what the implications of this resolution is ultimately adopted as a referendum by the voters, what those implications will be in the communities that I represent. And those implications could be really drastic. Or, and this pivots to the other half, Andrew, if those consequences can be avoided. And so the way those consequences can be avoided is through a tax increase. And there is nothing in this referendum that will prohibit local governments simply from jacking up their millage rates to offset all of the lost revenues. And so that's the other half of this, is at the end of the day, we actually did not do anything to ensure that property taxes across the board will be lower. What we did is we ensured that certain groups of people will no longer be pulling their weight as it relates to property taxes. And so Okaloosa County, for example, could choose, I don't know what they'll do if this passes, but they could choose simply to raise their millage from the current 4.5 mils or so to 6.5 or 7.5 or 8 mils, What that will mean is for everyone who owns an investment property, for every small business, for every renter, and for every new young family that's maybe just moved to Northwest Florida, as you know, got military orders, moved here, decided to buy their first house, because that's what many of those folks do, because they love it here, and it's their first chance to build wealth for their family, to put down some roots that they'll come back to at the end of their service. All of those groups of people will now pay more to make up for the rest of us. And I say the rest of us because, you know, I have a homesteaded property as well, right? Sure. Make up for the rest of us who will no longer be pulling our weight. And so that's the other half of the equation, is this is potentially the largest tax shift in the history of the state of Florida, so far as I know, where we are going to take the cost of something that we all receive and we're going to hand it off to someone else. And in doing so, we're going to drive up the cost of rents. We're going to drive up the cost of goods and services that we all pay for. And we're going to make it more difficult for young families, young professionals moving into the state to try and make a go.
You know, it really resonated a lot with me when you mentioned the military, because, you know, the natural sentiment of this proposal is, you know, reward the people who live here and punish the people who want to come here, or at least make it a little bit more of a cost for them to come here, because, you know, we don't want them just coming here and taking advantage of our no income tax and no property taxes or low property taxes. But we are very eager to preserve all the military mission, the desire for military folks to be able to come here. And I don't think anybody wants to see them be discouraged from coming here, especially because they don't come here permanently, or at least not long. You know, they might come here eventually permanently, but not right in the beginning. And that impact to military families, big impact. And I hadn't even thought of that as a criticism here. Let me just shift for a second, because I have a couple of things I want to make sure and ask you about here. One is, I found the arguments, and I hate property taxes. Like, I think they're philosophically indefensible. I don't like them, don't believe in them. Renting your property from the government makes no sense to me. But this would shift, as you said, likely shift from homeowners to renters who are also struggling with affordability, because, you know, property owners who rent out a property are just going to shift it to them, and that's going to suck for them. But also, you're still renting your property if it's commercial from the government, and you're still renting it because of the school board. They caved on the school board, or pushed back, depending on how you want to say it. But that bothered me about this proposal, that it did nothing on the school board slice, in part because the state would have had to backfill that, and the state doesn't have to pay the cost for counties and cities getting their budgets gutted.
Yeah, no, I think you're accurate. One, I philosophically agree with you, but you know, before you kind of before you tear apart the airplane, you better have a plan for rebuilding it, right? And I think that's part of the problem here, is if we were going to do away with property taxes, we didn't have a plan at the ready to substitute those revenues for local governments, to whatever it may have been, a sales tax or however else. And then, yeah, I think the reality is that, you know, as much as I'm enjoying my new role as a representative, it's one of my historic critiques of the legislature, and nothing has changed there, is that, you know, they're pretty protective of not doing something that is going to require, real belt tightening in Tallahassee, right? I mean, we've certainly done some modest belt tightening over the last couple of sessions, but certainly not to the level that we are now expecting out of local government. And to your point, and a lot of people don't know this, but the state and the school districts are really kind of partners in the funding of the public school system. And so a portion of those revenues come from property taxes via the school district, but a significant portion comes from the state. And if one half of that equation becomes imbalanced, then the other would have to make up the difference, because
by law, school districts, yeah.
Right. And because unlike a county or city, you know, what we have said, what you've heard some folks comment out of the legislature is, well, counties and cities can raise taxes, they can raise the millage rate, they can add fees, they can add taxes. They have all these different levers that they can pull on to make up for those revenues, which, again, is evidence this is potentially just a big tax shift.
Right.
But what we're also saying is, but the school districts don't have that, right? They have what they have, which is their limited authority on a millage. And they don't have services they can cut back. As far as I know, you know, the school districts can't decide that they're no longer
going to provide
feed kids lunch, right, or not have buses.
Hey, Nathan, we're running out of time, but I absolutely wanted to make sure and ask you two things that are about the political choice, because I think they're both – it's very understandable why you and Judge Manny were the only Republicans to vote against, because everybody else voted for it. It's two consequences. We got about a minute left, but DeSantis is surely going to retaliate against you and line item veto stuff that you supported. And voters might well say to you, dude, you just voted against me getting a $3,000 a year tax cut. What gives?
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of frame this up. One, I don't know what the governor will do. I hope he doesn't line item veto, because that would be punitive to the people I represent and today, not to me, right?
He's done that before. This is going to be no surprise, but okay, go ahead.
I hear you. I think, you know, my choice was between pork and principle. I chose principle, right? And I think I slept well with that decision. It's the same way I operated as a commissioner. I never made decisions based upon political consequence. I don't think that's the right way to lead, and I don't think that's the right way to govern. I'm comfortable with the decision I made. I'm comfortable that every time I've explained my decision, the person I've been explaining it to over the past couple of days has said, okay, I get it and I can understand. Maybe I don't 100% agree with you, but I respect that you spent a lot of time thinking about it and you took a very hard decision and you did so on principle. I can live with that. And so, I would just simply hope the voters can too. Maybe they agree, maybe they don't agree, but what I hope they want is a representative who is careful, thoughtful, deliberate, and at the end of the day, principled, despite what consequences may come.
Nathan Boyles, he is our state representative for District 3. Like I said, the northern majority of Santa Rosa County and then some of Okaloosa County. Nathan, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on today. A fabulous job. I appreciate it. I certainly respect the decision. And thank you for taking some time to explain it to our listeners, man. We'll talk to you again soon.
I enjoyed it. Take care, Andrew.
You bet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident free, but if you're on 9 Mile, approaching I-10 both eastbound and westbound, I'm seeing just minor delays there, but that's it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Have I ever told you that we have some pretty good representatives in government you may not hear from all the time?
We do.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with them, but isn't that the kind of person you want representing us?
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't represent me. I don't live in Santa Rosa County. But anyway, hey, if you are thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. Their specialty is cars that are 1 to 3 or 4 years young, 10 to 30, 40,000 miles, one owner, maybe two. Cars that are in great shape that they will warranty to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whatever comes first. And then they stand by it and sell them in a way that makes you want to come back. Like, it's not just the car and the price, but it's they treat you the way they treat you, making you want to come back. And if they have what you want, buy it. If they don't have exactly what you want, but they're close, send them looking. They go looking for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
June 6th is D-Day. The Allied forces of America came together to storm the beaches of Normandy during World War II. That invasion released the control maintained by Nazi Germany. As those brave men fearlessly stormed those beaches, it's estimated that there were some 10,000 casualties. D-Day is an example of heroes sacrificing their lives for a cause greater than themselves, the cause of freedom. Interestingly, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Christians are also called to sacrifice their lives for a cause greater than ourselves, the cause of Christ. As we willingly allow the Holy Spirit to invade our hearts, He will release control attempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. A spiritual battle exists in the heart of every Christian, so be sure to put on the whole armor of God. It's then that God can use you, Christian soldier, to accomplish fearless things for His honor and glory.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
When Pensacola Sports plays, everyone wins. For over 70 years, Pensacola Sports has been in the game, creating, recruiting, hosting, and supporting amateur, collegiate, and professional events that make the Pensacola area a premier sports destination. Every event, every electrifying moment drives real economic impact and delivers top-tier competition that elevates our quality of life. This is more than sports. This is Pensacola's game. Pensacola Sports, the team behind the biggest moments. Learn more at pensacolasports.org.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought I was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed, or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Smite me, oh mighty smiter!
Good morning, 729, News Radio 92.3. Little Robert Plant for you there. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, violence continued yesterday in Somalia's capital of Mogadishu after clashes broke out between state security forces and supporters of opposition leaders. Of course, this is ahead of a planned anti-government demonstration. No official casualty figures have been released. The government and opposition, of course, both blaming each other for the civil unrest. The United Nations is calling for restraint.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. Ryan Jenkins, our farmer friend from Pace, Florida, is going to Anyway, he'll be joining us next with an update on farming in Santa Rosa County. Stick around.
News. I'm CJ Pop. A group of senators prevent the extension of the nation's spy powers.
The reason that the Democrats pulled out is they do not like the installation of Bill Pulte as the acting director of national intelligence. They don't think that he is qualified for that position. And so they knew that on the Republican side of the aisle there were going to be GOP no's. But they needed Democratic support, and they basically all backed out.
That's Fox's Chad Pergram. This during the so-called Votorama, where earlier this morning.
On this vote, the yeas are 52, the nays are 47. This bill, as amended, is passed.
Republican senators approved $70 billion for immigration enforcement funding ICE and CBP for 3 years. About 60% of the vote counted from Tuesday's primary. Many ballots still coming in from Sacramento, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 72 degrees. We've got partly cloudy skies and looking like it'll be a beautiful morning. We'll get more on our forecast in just a few minutes. A 22-year-old Pensacola motorcyclist is seriously injured after reportedly running a stop sign then hitting a pickup truck on Thursday evening. The Florida Highway Patrol says the rider didn't stop at the intersection of Lee Street and North T, then hit the side of a Ford F-150. The rider was not responsive at the scene and was taken to a hospital. We do not have an update on their condition as of this morning. The rider was reportedly not wearing a helmet. Well, a new Florida law taking effect in July would prohibit people convicted of certain crimes against children from living within 1,000 feet of a public swimming pool. The change would expand existing residency restrictions that already cover areas like parks, playgrounds, schools. Some parents welcoming that added buffer, but there are some concerns as well that it could push more offenders into homelessness and make them even harder for their authorities to track. Now, the Escambia Sheriff's Office releasing surveillance footage of a woman they say burglarized 5 vehicles at a Pensacola food mart. Sheriff Chip Simmons providing commentary on that video.
This is not the only car that they burglarized. She's done 4 others.
And wrong audio clip. There's Sheriff Chip Simmons again.
Here she is getting out in her bright green burglary outfit. She makes it just inside the back seat just before that bicyclist sees her. Now you can see her rummaging through. She's finished. She got all the stuff she can get. She got some perfume, some money, some other stuff. And she passes that along to her passenger. And then they'll close the door. She'll get into the getaway car. And she'll take off into the night.
And the sheriff said she was likely looking for even more victims before deputies caught up with her. 35-year-old Ciara Sylvian had 32 prior felony arrests before that incident. The sheriff said that she is now up to 37. Well, Senator Rick Scott says the end of the Castro era in Cuba is within sight. He says Raul Castro faces a choice, either Scott says the president's decision to indict Castro and increase sanctions is creating conditions that could finally break the regime's grip on the island.
We've got to hold Raul Castro accountable. I'm glad the Trump administration finally indicted him. I've been asking for that for years. They've increased the sanctions. So here's what I think is going to happen. Either Raul Castro and family are going to leave the island, or he's going to get the same treatment as Maduro. He'll be in prison the rest of his life.
And Scott says Cuba's proximity, 90 miles from the Florida coast, makes that situation a direct national security issue. He also said China has a spy station on the island, and the Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah all have a presence there. Well, a police officer shot in the line of duty, getting some national recognition. Senator Ashley Moody honoring Port St. Lucie Police Sergeant Eric Lavasseur on the Senate floor yesterday with the Florida's Finest Award. He was shot twice in December while responding to a call and has now undergone five surgeries. Senator Moody called him a true Florida hero. It is 7:35 here at News Radio 92.3, and not wearing a bright green traffic outfit, it's John Pickens with our traffic on the fives.
That's right. It's yellow. Sorry. It's okay. All right. Brought to you by Pensacola Little Theater, coming to PLT, The Cottage, a fast-paced, laugh-out-loud farce full of twists, June 12th through the 21st. Tickets available at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the box office. Still rolling accident-free right now. Starting to see some delays on 9 Mile, both eastbound and westbound as you approach I-10. 98's looking good, and minor delay on Highway 90 as you come into Pensacola. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you so much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Marion Caldwell.
Our Friday morning is starting out with temperatures in the 70s under mostly clear skies. As we head into the afternoon, we'll gradually start to see moisture filter back in today. Highs will climb into the middle and upper 80s with sunny conditions, but it will be breezy with wind gusts up to 25 miles per hour at times. Going into the weekend, rain chances are back in the forecast. Meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather.
We've got 72 degrees right now. It is partly cloudy. Your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news. Anytime it happens, I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. The stronger than expected start this year for job creation could be in for a reality check when the Bureau of Labor Statistics releases the May non-farm payrolls report later today. Economists surveyed by Dow Jones expect just 80,000 jobs to be added during the month. Lululemon may have settled its proxy contest and hired a new CEO, but its challenges are far from over. The athletic apparel retailer cut its full-year guidance and issued a weak outlook for the current quarter, citing undisclosed headwinds. Lululemon beat Wall Street's expectations on the top and bottom lines. Lloyd's List Intelligence reports that dozens of stranded ships have exited the Persian Gulf in recent weeks as vessels coordinate with the U.S. Navy. The quiet coordination comes after President Trump abruptly shut down a short-lived mission to escort ships last month. Ship traffic through the Strait of Hormuz still remains way below pre-war levels. Futures are mixed ahead of inflation data later this morning. NASDAQ futures are down by more than 300 points. That's your money now.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then, Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News.
Scandy Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me.
We get probably an accidental shooting probably once every 2 weeks, which is a lot.
How do you shoot two people cleaning your gun?
And if you're sitting next to each other kind of showing people how cool your gun is.
Yeah, I guess some people in an actual gunfight miss 10 times and one guy's cleaning and he shoots two people.
That's in the movies. They certainly
miss them.
Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm are kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, yes. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Ryan Jenkins. He is our good friend, farmer, owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. And I am really eager to find out what's been going on with all the changes in the weather for the farmers locally. Ryan, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great, but I'm very eager to find out how you're doing. The last time we talked, it was a drought. You said you needed rain. God over-delivered. We had catastrophic rain in the north end of both counties over the last month or so, a couple of different times. How have you been doing? What are you up to? How is the crop planting going? You tell me. What's going on?
Well, we've been pretty busy. Off and on, it has been a struggle. You're right. You know, I can't remember exactly. I know when we talked, but I can't remember what was going on, if we had started getting rain yet or not.
No, but, I think, you know, I think we might have gotten like one day of a half inch that week before, a month ago.
Right, right. So we had basically, for the most part, been in a drought since about last August, and it was too dry for us to get in the field. It was too dry for us to begin planting our crops. So we were waiting for some rain to get started, and we got some rain. And then it cleared off, and we were able to, you know, we've got enough equipment. We can do a lot in a little bit of time. So we got out there and got a bunch of peanuts and cotton planted. And then that's when the real rain started. So since we've talked last, we've already replanted a little over 300 acres of cotton. I've got some peanuts to replant. It's just, it's been a pretty big struggle. You know, some of our fields we've had, I've been keeping up with it, we've had about 19 inches of rain on since the last time.
19? Wow. Okay, all right. I mean, I knew some of the north end had gotten like 3-4 inches here and there, but I wasn't sure if it was that bad. Wow. Okay. All right, well, I thought we had our phones fixed. We don't, but I'm sure Ryan will give us a call back and we'll manage to make it work. Man, and that was the thing I'd been worried about is, you know, if it's not working, are you then getting, you know, too much of a good thing, so to speak, or not? So, all right, we got Ryan on the line again. Ryan, are you there, sir?
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that. I'll tell you what. If it That's drops right. again, I'll call you on a different line, and we'll make it work. We're slowly figuring this thing out. The gremlins are getting us. Okay. So you were saying you got 19 inches since then, and what has that done for you as a farmer?
You know, it's really put us behind. Typically, May is a pretty dry month, so that's when we also harvest our winter grains, which is our wheat and oats. They've been really affected by the rain. You know, it's really hurt us with that. And now we're waiting. You know, typically we're through planting by now. We might have a field or something to plant, but we still like hundreds of acres of peanuts, cotton, and soybeans, having everything planted. And then that gets into another part of it, which is your crop insurance. So there have been a ton of struggles since the last time.
So you've got, I mean, the basic issues, you've got the problem of you've got the problem of having to replant, which is extra cost. Then you've got the problem of areas that you cannot get to because you've had to waste time extra replanting and you've been pushed back because of the dryness of it and being able to get things in the ground. And then you've got to deal with crop insurance, which the deadline for that is today. Like today is the deadline for that. So all of the different issues that we're dealing with the farmers in the North End. All right, I promise, Ryan, we're doing our best. You're being a trooper. I love it. I was just explaining to folks how, you know, you've lost out on crops because you've had to replant. You've lost out on land because you took time having to replant. You're sitting with half your field basically unplanted, and we're up against the crop insurance date today, right?
Correct. Today is the end of the maximum amount of crop insurance we get. So today they call it the final plant date, and then they give us 10 days past today, but every day they take off a percentage of the insurance that you're able to get.
Okay, so reduced coverage.
It's reduced coverage, but you still have to pay 100% of the premium.
Oh, so, well, that's fantastic. The cost is the same, and the benefit keeps diminishing. Thank you. Well done.
Exactly. Then in 10 days from now, it'll be over, and you can only get 50% of your coverage, but you still have to pay 100% of the cost. So it's a big time. There's a lot going on. It's a big challenge. I'm sitting here in the barn right now, you know, looking at all this seed that still has to be planted that typically they would be up and growing and pretty by now. So the fields are still – some of them are dry enough. We're working. We're still getting stuff done. But a lot of them are still too wet to even, as of yesterday, to even walk out into to check them. So,
and I assume that if this is true for you, it's true for most of the rest of the farmers in the North End of both counties and the region.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody's in a situation in our area, you know, in our general area here.
It's unbelievable.
Pretty serious. And this, you know, we've talked before about the ag economy and how stressed it is right now. This is a year where we don't need any hiccups, really, and we're already facing some. But, you know, that's farming, and that's what we signed up for. And God always gives us a way to get through it, even when we can't see it ourselves. We'll look back and say, how did we do that? And it's through His grace and His mercy, and we'll be fine. It's just, you know, a challenge right now.
And now I assume, you correct me if I've got this analysis wrong on any point, you had to invest in all of the tools and in the inputs as if you were going to have a full planting done, which you have not been able to do. So you're not going to be able to recoup cost on those elements, and you've got loans and notes to pay for that. And in the process, you got costs that have gone, and you're only going to get a diminished some fraction of your eventual maximum yield. And based on what you've told me, I'm just ballparking. You tell me if I've got it wrong. It sounds like you're going to miss out on a third to a half of your entire yield come the end of the year. Am I in the vicinity of what's going on?
Well, I wouldn't say we're so late that the number's that great yet.
Okay.
But we're to the part now where we have to start worrying about an early freeze or early frost. That'll be what will... You know, we can have a good growing season. We can make a good crop, and then we could get a freeze at the end. But you know what? On the same token, we could get good weather all the way through, and this could end up being a blessing. You know, because of a little drought here or there, or a hurricane early or late, or something like that. There might be something we can't see now that this actually is helping us, whereas if we'd have planted everything early, it would have hurt us. So,
okay.
You know,
well, I love the note of optimism. I know you're a man of faith, so I'll take that.
That's right. I'm not throwing my hands up in the air or anything like that. But you know, just like you say, I'm sitting here looking at all this peanut seed that has not been planted, and you can't take it back.
Use it next year? Will it hold for a year?
No, it won't be. It won't be that good next year. But we're going to get it planted. We're going to get it done. It's not a true disaster yet. It's just a bump in the road, kind of.
All right. Well, we're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, hang on for just a second. Let's get John in here with traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you or delays. Traffic is looking good so far in this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Senator Scott, we didn't get a chance to talk to him about it yesterday, but he was involved in a bill that's going to help out a lot of the farmers who suffered in the freeze that hit us in March. Didn't really hit us here as much, but down south, I guess it did. Is this a big deal to other farmers in Florida?
It's a huge deal to some of the fruit and vegetable growers down in Florida. You know, I'm very active in Farm Bureau and have friends scattered throughout the state. And those guys, they really got hit hard, and they needed the help. And I'm glad to hear that maybe they're going to be getting some help. But They really took a big punch during the winter with that freeze. It really hurt them. I heard many of them talking about it, like devastating type stuff. So it's a big deal for those guys. You know, it's their emergency. It's their problem, and somebody's coming to help them. So that's always a good thing.
Anything else you want to let us know? I know you're super busy right now. In fact, I was actually surprised you had enough time to spend with us on the phone. I thought you might just be out in the field working, because it's wall to wall right now, especially with that deadline on the crop insurance. But anything else you want to let us know about?
No, y'all just pray for us and watch out for us. There are a lot of tractors and equipment moving up and down the roads right now, trying to get things wrapped up. I mean, even at nighttime. So just be on the lookout for us if you're up in this area. Be careful and just say a little prayer for us, and I hope I give you a great report the next time we talk.
Hey, I'll take it. And I just want to say a little report, a little prayer. Let's say big prayers for you as well. What was it like to end with a farm fact or something like that? Do you have one for us this month?
I will. So we're planting peanut. We're planting a lot of stuff right now, but we'll talk about peanuts for a second. Do you have any idea how many seed per acre I plant of peanuts? My goal is to get this many plants per acre. Do you know how?
I'm gonna be so wrong about this. This is wonderful. I'm gonna say 2,000. That's my guess.
All right, about 86,000.
Oh my God. Okay. That's why I live in the city. All right, go ahead. So 86,000 per acre.
That's it. So 86,000. That's what we're doing. So we know how many pounds of seed there are. We know how many seed there are per pound. So, you know, with the different varieties, there's different size of seeds. So we put 86,000 of this variety, like the one I'm planting right now, that's about 113 pounds of seed per acre. And the variety that I'm moving to later today, they're bigger seeds. So I'll still be putting 86,000, but I'll be planting close to 150 pounds per acre.
Okay.
So a lot of math involved in this. We're steady checking our stuff all day long, but I just thought it'd be interesting for y'all to know we try to get about 86,000 seed out per acre.
Well, I will say this, at least I'm glad you don't have to do it by hand anymore.
That's right, exactly. We do count them every year to find out how many seed are in that 1 pound, and you would think that wouldn't be hard, but I have the hardest trouble. You know, I can't keep my concentration going that long.
84,599.
Or dad will be helping me, and he'll start counting out loud. And it's like, just hush. Just count your own over there, and then we'll talk about it when it's over.
Okay, I'm sure this is a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If the different seeds are different sizes, how does your planting machine handle the fact that the different seeds are different sizes? It seems like that would be an impediment.
It's not. It's the way it's made. It's not a problem, and it's not grossly so. But you're talking such big numbers that it makes a difference.
Like
one seed, there might be 600 seed in a pound, and then the other variety, there might be 700 seed in a pound.
Oh, okay. So the size difference is pretty small, really, as a percentage basis.
Right.
Okay,
like,
I got gotcha.
You might or might not notice it with your naked eye.
Okay. All right. Very good. Ryan Jenkins, our good friend, owner Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida, joins us once a month to give us an update on farming. I got a text in, by the way, Ryan. Somebody says, I miss having Ryan on every week. Tell him we love him. I will. All right.
Well, thank you.
Ryan, be well. God bless you and what you're doing and all the farmers. And thank you so much, as I always say, for feeding my kids and putting clothes on their back and putting peanut butter in their mouth. I love it. Ryan Jenkins, thanks so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you again in a month.
Hey, thanks for having us on. Y'all be careful and have a good weekend. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need a new roof or need to replace your roof or you're not sure which it is, that's why you call Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward started this company 20 years ago. Simple goals. Let's do good work at a reasonable price and let's treat people well. I mean, you wouldn't think that'd be all that weird, but, you know, a lot of times, unfortunately, in the construction trades, that is. And that's why there's an opportunity for people who do exactly those things to do well. So they put in 10,000 roofs. They're rated 4.9 on Google. They do a lifetime workmanship warranty on their roofs. About 10% of what they do is repairs. About 90% is replacement. And they'll talk to you about the difference. You may know you need a replacement, okay? Don't mean to imply that repair might be an alternative, although it might be. I mean, I don't know. They'll talk to you about it. But the point is, they'll just talk to you like a person. They do all kinds of stuff to try to make their operation efficient. I just had a dear friend who, she heard me talking about them, and she made them one on her list that she called, and she says they were not the most expensive, for sure. They were not the cheapest, but, you know, sometimes, you know, cheaper is not better. And she went with them, and she's like, they did exactly what they're supposed to do, and I got my money's worth, and I'm satisfied. And that's about as much as you can really hope for, and they do exactly that. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
It's making me want some peanuts in the shell. I have this craving now for the peanuts.
Or some boiled, or some peanut butter, or some, you know, all the different ways you can enjoy your peanuts.
Okay. All right.
Eat more of them and make Ryan happy. Eat more of them.
Exactly. So no accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on 9 Mile Road approaching I-10 going westbound, you're going to see just a minor delay, just volume traffic right there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Hurricane season is here. Is your home protected? At StormTech Shutter Systems, they provide custom hurricane protection built for the Gulf Coast, including roll-down shutters, accordion shutters, Bahama shutters, storm panels, and storm fabric systems. Their professionally installed products are built to code and designed to protect what matters most. Financing options are available to help make protecting your home easy. Don't wait until the next storm is on the radar. Call today for your free estimate. StormTech Shutter Systems. Protection you can trust when it matters most.
Our Senators Ashley Moody and Rick Scott and Representative Jimmy Patronis are standing up for radio listeners like us by supporting legislation to keep AM radio in cars. They know the value of local radio in times of emergency. Now it's time for Congress to finish the job and pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. Learn more at dependonam.com. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
A sandwich just isn't a sandwich without the tangy zip of Miracle Whip salad dressing, the bread spread from Kraft.
Now I got John wanting Miracle Whip and peanuts.
No, all right, no. What? I was going because
you don't like Miracle Whip.
No, it's not mayo. I want real mayo.
All right, Duke's boy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, Vanilla Ice has been replaced by Lee Greenwood for President Trump's upcoming celebration of America's 250th anniversary.
Virtually the same act.
So there's no Vanilla
How do you
Ice?
Even tell the
Wait,
difference?
I thought he canceled the thing.
Well, he's canceled most of the concerts. Vanilla Ice actually did not pull out, but most of the artists did. So he canceled all the concerts except he's bringing in Lee Greenwood.
Because he knows he can count on him. And so is he going to do a rally now? I thought he had said he was not.
It's mostly just going to be
I'm
a
exhausted.
Manga rally.
I'm just exhausted with the man. Go on.
The New York Yankees say star outfielder Aaron Judge is sidelined indefinitely. Doctors have diagnosed a stress fracture in his first right rib. The three-time MVP will have to rest and limit activity before he's reevaluated in 4 to 6 weeks.
Boy, I sure hope the Yankees can afford to pay the money it's going to take to buy a decent player to replace him.
Hopefully.
Sarcasm for me. Julio Diaz comes up next, and find out why Brother Andrew likes the changes to words like mother and father that New York State is putting into its family law. Coming up in the Transgressive Memorial Service at 820.